lives. And God, no matter what we face, no matter where we may end up, Lord, you are there. And God, there is so much hope and peace in the truth of that. And God, as we live in this world, we could think of all the things that are going on, and we could think of all the struggles that we face and will be facing. But God, as long as we know that you are our Savior and that you are with us every step of the way, God, it makes this life a lot more doable in a joyful mind. And God, I pray as we study tonight that you continue to allow us the opportunity of understanding as we put things together, as we look at your word, the truth of it, and Lord, that it'll just change our thoughts, change our hearts, that we may turn around and, Father, then live a life for you, and may it change us in the process. And God, we just thank you. We praise you for all you do in us and through us. In your Son's name, amen. All right, I appreciate that. Every time I sing that song, I just think of how great of a God we serve. Because I'm telling you, it just amazes me that he would look down upon me, us, and just love us to death. Literally, love us to death. And so I just, when we sing that, I trust that that brings that same idea to you. But appreciate that song together. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 15. We're going to be finishing up Romans chapter 15. Looking forward into 16 next week. But I want to pull these last few verses are very interesting. Paul sort of, as we saw earlier on, as Paul's diligence in preaching the gospel and his desire to preach the gospel, and how he went and he took the offering up for them, and how he was going back to them, and he told them that he was going to come visit them on his way to Spain. And Paul had the idea this is how it was going to work and how it was going to happen. But at this moment, we ended up last week with verse 29, and it says, I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And it's a pretty bold statement. It's an interesting statement. And as we see what Paul's saying, that basically what he is saying is that the blessings that, remember, they shared in the offering. He was taking an offering to Jerusalem to help those who in Jerusalem who were not making and who were poor. And we looked into the reason of that. Why would he say the poor saints in Jerusalem? And we looked into the fact of how they were poor, because to be a Christian meant you didn't have a job. To be a Christian meant everybody shunned you in the marketplace, and they wouldn't buy your goods. And we are so blessed in America. We have yet to understand what it means to sacrifice for the name of Christ. We have never yet had to sacrifice for the name of Christ. Now, will we? If God tarries long enough, yes, we will. We don't know that for sure, but it sure looks like we're going down a direction that their intent is to really come after Christians, come after those who believe in God or the God. And so we don't know where that's going to go, but we find here Paul encouraging, saying, when I come back to you, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. When I come back to you, I'm going to come back in the blessings. I'm going to come back as listed in verse 29, the fullness of the blessings of the gospel. Because that gospel changed their lives. That gospel allowed them to take the offering for those poor in Jerusalem, and then have a report back on how that blessed them and how that encouraged them. There's nothing more encouraging than to sit down and just have testimony time, right? Listen to what God is doing in everybody's life and how God's blessing them and encouraging them. And it just amazes me how encouraging that is to hear how God's working in somebody else's life. Because you know when it's your turn, God's going to work just as much for you. So, saying all that, Paul now says to them, and he beseeches them in verse 30. He says, now I beseech you, I beg you, brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Paul now is opening up an interesting concept about praying or being an intercessor prayer. Prayer warrior, to intercede with people as they pray to God. Now, we know that there is only one true person that intercedes for us, that is our advocate, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. When we pray, he goes to the Father as Romans 8 says, and the Spirit of God prays and cries out to the Father when we don't know what to say. It's the Spirit of God that He intercedes for us. He actually prays for us. And just think on that for a moment, that as you're going through your day in craziness or not, you're just going through your day, and realize that Christ is praying to His Father for you. No matter where you find yourself at, no matter what struggles you're having, that He's praying for you. And I'm telling you, that helps me through a lot of things, knowing when life seems to be going in direction, or when I visit people and their lives are all going crazy, and you know, just that God is praying for us and through everyday life. So Paul now begins this intercessory prayer. And I'm going to talk about this for just a real quick minute, and then we're going to go back and study some of the text. When you talk about an intercessory prayer warrior, does it mean that the more people that pray, the more God moves? Does it mean just as much if one person prays, or if 1,000 people pray? When you and I talk about somebody who is an intercessory prayer warrior, what are we asking of them? And I think it's important we understand this, because, you know, it's almost, well, it's like the praise song sometimes. You know, it's not more divine the first time you sing it, it is the 100th time you sing it when you repeat the stuff. Prayer is not put out there so that we can change the mind of God. Prayer is not, it doesn't matter how many people you have praying, God's will is going to be done. So we're not going to change God's mind. We're not going to change what God is about to do. But what intercessory prayer does is it allows us to be involved in that person's problem, issue, joy. We become a part of that ministry. We become a part of that person and their cry to God. It's not that we're going to change God's mind. I'm convinced that you cannot change what God has already put in place and has already ordained before the foundation of the world. Sometimes we see our prayers answered and possibly praying for someone to be better, whatever is going on in their life. Praying that the cancer is gone, or praying that their blood disease is gone, whatever it may be. We're praying for things to happen, and we're really praying hard, and we're fervent in our prayers. We really believe it's going to happen. And then they get healed from it, and sometimes we say, it's because I prayed. I think there's too much I in that. We pray to God, crying out our heart. We are interceding for others because we want to be a part of their ministry. We want to be part of their growth, or part of their circumstance. And we want to be there, and we want to carry the other burden. But when we pray as Christ taught us to pray, but Father, thy will be done. Thy will be done. And so when Paul asked these individuals to pray for him, he wasn't asking. In fact, we're going to see as we study through this very specific things that he asked for. So prayer is depending on God. Prayer is saying, God, this is what's going on in my life. God, and as more people pray, we all get involved in that circumstance. We all get to see God work. We all get to know who God is. Our faith is strengthened by what we see God do. And so we need to be careful that, now I'm not saying, well, then why pray? I'm just going to go through life not praying. God's going to do what he wants to do anyway. You miss the whole concept. You miss the whole reason of why we pray. It's like going to somebody, I'll illustrate it this way. You have a husband, wife, a good friend, if you're not married, somebody that you go to when things aren't going right, and you pour your heart out to them, and you just want to share it with them so that you feel like somebody's listening, that somebody cares, somebody is there to help support you. And I think that's what our prayer life is to God. We go to God because we want to know he cares, which he does. We want to know and understand that he's with us in this, and we can trust him through this. But to go to prayer saying you're going to change the mind of God and the plan of God You got to be careful with that, because we don't have the right to do that. We can't tell God. Now, I believe God already knows tomorrow, right? If God already knows tomorrow, then we're praying for something today. We're praying to God and trusting Him. God's going to work the circumstance in our life that's going to benefit us and those around us that pray. Because when we let God do the work, our faith is strengthened. Our reason for going to God is there. Because I don't know anybody that has every one of their prayers answered the way they prayed all the time. So if you and I had the ability to say, it's because I prayed, they were healed, or it worked, then what happens the next time it didn't work? What happens the next time God answers prayer a little different than the way you prayed? What happens is normally, as we get upset at God and we blame God, but all along, we didn't have the availability to do that. We didn't have the power within us to do that. We have power to depend on God, and that's what Paul's going to be doing. So when Paul brings in and introduces this intercessory prayer as he's praying to them, interesting enough, even in verse 30, you know, it says there that by the Lord Jesus Christ, for his sake and for the love of the Spirit. I think as we see that for the love of the Spirit, we need to understand it's probably more so the love given by the Spirit. It's not that we're loving the Spirit of God, therefore we're going to pray. It's the love that we have that's given to us that we pray for other people. Because we have a heart for them. We have compassion for them. We want to pray for them because they need to know. You and I need to know on the earthly sense. We're talking the horizontal concept. But there's people that care. There's people that really are concerned about what's going on in my life. Because that strengthens our faith in the family. Now, vertically, between God, we show and pray complete dependence on Him. God, listen, God doesn't need us to tell Him what's going on. God wants us to tell Him what's going on because He wants us to get on His page. Not praying God to get on my page. We need to get on God's page. So, when we pray for each other, we're letting each other know that we have an actual concern. We have a compassion. We want to pray with you through this. We're not praying for changing results. We're praying with you so that you can know that you're not in it alone. That you can know we're here for you as a family. You see, I think that's what intercessory prayer among us does. It strengthens the relationship of the family. And so we pray. Paul says the same thing to them. It's not the love of the Spirit. I really believe it's the love that He has given us that we strive together in your prayers to God for me. So verse 31 shares a little bit of importance what he's going to pray for. First of all, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judah. Paul says, I know they're out there. Interesting enough, Paul knew everywhere he went. Paul knew by this point in his ministry, every town that he was going to go to, he was going to preach the gospel, and he was going to be hated, maybe stoned, maybe imprisoned, maybe beaten. You know, and it's like, how would you enjoy knowing that God is asking you to go do something, and you know what they're going to do to you? You see, Paul had a ministry, and he had a heart that he could be rescued from the unbelievers or the disobedient ones that were in Judah. He was aware of the problems. Acts chapter 20, verse 23. I'm going to turn back real quickly. Acts chapter 20, verse 23. Paul makes his own statement about this. 20:23 says, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. Now, back up a little bit. Paul's meeting with the elders in Ephesians or Ephesus, and he's stating there in that verse 23, in verse 22, now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. Paul said, my ministry is because he's asked me to do this. I am bound by the Spirit of God to go where he asked me to go. I am bound by the Spirit of God to preach the truth of Jesus Christ, no matter where it is. I am bound by the Spirit of God to go to Jerusalem. But he has in verse 22, he says, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. I don't know what they're going to do to me, but I do know this. Verse 23, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city saying, bonds and affliction abide me. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know it's going to hurt. I don't know what they're going to do to me, but I know something's going to happen. But what drove Paul in his ministry? He was bound by the Spirit of God. He says, man, this is what I'm called for. I'm not called here to have an easy life. I'm not called here to have it so comfortable in my life that I never suffer anything for the sake of Christ. I go bound by the Spirit of God. So what he's doing back in Romans to asking these individuals, he's praying that he may be delivered or that he may be rescued from those who are going to do these things. Now, Paul's not saying, listen, I want you to pray so God changes his mind and nobody hurts me. He said, I just want to be rescued from them. There's a big difference of them not doing anything and doing something and living through it. Paul said, just pray that I'm delivered through it. I know I'm going to go there. I know things are going to hurt. I know I'm in trouble. But pray that I make it through that. And it just baffles me that Paul was knowing these things. But what example was he following? Christ. Do you think Jesus Christ came to earth not knowing what was going to happen? Not knowing the purpose that he had at 12 years old? He's in the temple. He's telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees the things of scriptures that are just blowing their mind away. And he says to his mother Mary at that point, I am about my Father's business. He knew his Father's business. He knew at 12 years old what his deal was. But yet he goes to the garden and prays, if it can, but if not, your will be done. That's the intercessory prayer. That's the prayer. God, I know what's going on in my circumstance. I know what's going on in my life. Or we pray for people. I know what they're going through. I know what they're having. God, but whatever your will is, God, that's what we want. See, Christ was the example. Paul lived it. And now Paul's encouraging other people around him to pray. Pray that, not that I'm not going to go through it, but just pray I'm delivered. Pray I'm rescued. Pray I can live through this next beating I get. Because I'm still bound by the Spirit of God to go to the next place and the next place. So, pretty interesting is the first thing he says, that he would be delivered by them who didn't believe. And the next thing he says in verse 31, and that my service with what I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. So his service, basically what he's saying about the service there is that he would be accepted. His ministry would be accepted. He's bringing an offering that it would be accepted by those there. And so, I don't want to tear away anybody's prayer life. We are to be praying, and we are to be praying, and we still need to pray more because we need to be dependent on God, knowing that he knows. My hope lies in the fact that God knows my tomorrow, not in the fact that God's going to change my tomorrow. Because I don't know if he will. I don't know if my tomorrow will change. But I know he knows. And that's my hope. That's where my hope lies. And Paul's saying, listen, I don't know what's there waiting for me. I know something's going to be there. Spirit of God told me at every city, these things, afflictions and bond, that those things await me. Pray that I can just keep my faith through that. It almost puts you in the mind of Corrie Ten Boom or some of those people that we read about from past days of martyrdom that they were praying to keep their faith. Just keep their faith. And what did Christ say that he prayed when he told Peter he was going to deny him? You know, I'm going to pray that you what? Keep your faith. God never promised us an easy road. He said, I'm praying that you are able to endure what you're going to go through. Why? So that you can continue to share the true message of Christ. That your faith strengthens. That's what he told Peter. And when, Peter, you have gone through all that and you've done right, you've repented from it, in Luke 22, what do you tell them? Go tell everybody. Sometimes God has us go through things, knowing that he is going to carry us through them, knowing that we're either going to be different or the same, knowing that we have a story and a testimony to tell about God afterwards. That's all he wants. He wants to hear. He wants us to share that testimony about what is going on. So Paul's two requests, third one there in verse 32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and be refreshed. So Paul's now saying, listen, I want to be refreshed. The word refreshed there basically was able to come and rest and relax. I want to come to you knowing that, one, I made it through, kept my faith. Two, that the saints received me well. And three, that I come to you that we can just rejoice together because what God is doing, and relax into that fact. Now, we know the whole story. Paul doesn't go to Rome that way at all. But Paul said, this is what my prayer is. This is what I'm praying. This is what I want, that I can come to you with the joy by the will of God. Again, he puts it in there, by the will of God. It's so unfair that we know the story, end of the story, as we look at this text. Because as Paul's standing there, he's praying to God, God, it your will be that I'm going to come visit these people again with joy. How did he go visit these people? In chains. He went in chains because he was arrested. And he plead the Roman citizenship, which got him to go in front of the king or the leader of Rome to listen to his case. Now, Paul probably would have been a little bit more joyful and a little bit more relaxing sitting by the beach with his feet up and his Coca-Cola instead of in chains and in prison, not knowing if he was going to live. But Paul didn't know that, did he? He prayed he'd go enjoy. He prayed he'd go visit them, relax with them. And God says, you're going to go visit them, but you're going to go visit them in a different way. See, our hope is in the fact that God knows. Our hope is never in the fact that God is going to change it and make it right. Just the fact that he knows. Because that's what gets us through. That's what gets us through with our faith. That's what strengthens our faith. And so as Paul prays this, I think it's kind of interesting as he reveals that in verse 32. And then he ends with a little bit of a doxology or a little bit of a benediction in a closing prayer in verse 33. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. That's Paul's prayer. He asked them to pray that with him. And knowing the end of the story, was that prayer answered the way they were praying it? Well, yes, Paul made it through his Judea ordeal in chains. And yes, he did go to see them. Obviously, if he's coming in chains, not all those in Judea accepted him, did they? They put him in prison. They put him in chains. So, that being said of our prayer life, we pray as if we know God is going to do something. We pray in dependence of God to do it. And we accept whatever God does, because it doesn't always match my prayer with his deal. But we pray willing to accept what he does. That's our hope. That's our joy. And it's interesting when Paul begins to teach that and have that there, and he closes in again, may the God of peace be with you all. And so we're going to close that up tonight in the peace, but I think that intercessory prayer that he asked for, it was very interesting to study through that and see what is the reason. Why do we pray? What do we do in our prayers? And, you know, it just, we keep praying. We keep praying like we believe God is going to do something. He will. Our hope is in the fact that he will do something. But we have to pray accepting whatever God chooses to do. That's the key of our prayer life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the study tonight. And Lord, as we pull these truths together, we understand in a way that allows our heart and our mind to just really rely on you and depend on you even more. And God, we know that if our faith is built on what you can do, then we've missed it. Our faith is built on who you are. And God, even if our prayers are not answered the way we want, we still know who you are. And God, you have promised to be with us. You have promised to carry us through. You've promised to see us all the way through this life. And God, you'll never break that promise. And Father, I pray as we can really ponder in our hearts that concept that we really come to you with our prayers. We come to you with all that we need to and all that we have. And we fervently help and pray for each other as we join in to allow on the others to know that they're not alone, that we care about what's going on in their life, and we want to pray with them all along, accepting your will in the midst of it. God, we just thank you for how you instruct us, how you teach us, and Father, for the hope that we have, knowing that you know exactly what is going on, and you will care for us like the loving Father that you are. God, we just lift it to you in your Son's name. Amen.